ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th canto 20th chapter verse number 27 वनौकसः प्रमोदिता वनराजिर् मधुच्युतः जलधारा गिरेर्नादाद् आसन्ना ददृशे गुहा वनौकसः प्रमोदिता वनराजिर्मधुच्युतः जलधारा गिरेर्नादाद् आसन्नाददृशे गृहः वनौकसः प्रमोदिता वनराजिर्मधुच्युतः जलधारागिरेर्नादाद् आसन्नाददृशे गुहा वनौकसः प्रमोदिता वनराजिर्मधुच्युतः जलधारागिरेर्नादाद् आसन्नाददृशे गुहाः। ददृशे गुहा माताजी आसन्ना ददृशे वनौकसः the ab origin girls of the forest pramuditaha joyful vanarajihi the trees of the forest madhuchutaha dripping sweet sap jaladharaha waterfalls girehe on the mountains nadat from their resounding. Asannaha, nearby. Dadrushe, he observed. Guhaha, caves. Translation. The Lord saw the joyful aborigine girls of the forest, the trees dripping the sweet sap, and the mountain waterfalls, whose resounding indicated that there are caves nearby. There is no purport, so we'll read next verse. Kvachit vanaspati krode guhayam chabhivarshati nirvishya bhagavan reme kandafula falashanaha. When it rained, the Lord would sometimes enter a cave or the hollow of a tree to play and to eat the roots and fruits. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami explains that during the rainy season, bulbs and roots are very tender and palatable. Lord Krishna would eat them along with wild fruits found in the forest. Lord Krishna and his young boyfriends would sit in the hollow of a tree or within a cave and enjoy pastimes while waiting for the rains to stop. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Sha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So after the pastime of killing Pralambasur, Shukadeva Goswami is narrating the situation of rainy season and the forthcoming autumn. So right now in this verse, the situation in Vrindavan of rainy season is described. You can see Vrindavan is so beautiful that at any point of time, by the will of the Lord, any situation can be created. For example, his flute is so powerful that if he plays the sixth note, seventh note, then all the seasons with best of their situations and possibilities, they manifest in Vrindavan. So actually Krishna doesn't have to wait for the rains to come or the autumn to come or something to come. He can just bring a season as per his desire in Vrindavan. But still, to enjoy like any other person in the world, to enjoy like any other friends of his, he likes to go through all these situations. So there is summer and it is explained that trees were very looking like dry, with no fruits. The earth was looking like sucked of all the water away by the sun. And the rains came. And then the cows got very fresh grass. Earth gave fresh grass. The raindrops gave life to every living entity, especially trees and the birds and the animals. They got rejuvenated. So Krishna is enjoying a variety of situations on this earth planet in which he has come to perform his pastimes. So it's a very beautiful situation. Lord doesn't have to go through this winter and summer like we have to go through. But still Lord is enjoying with his friends. All the transitions, all the varieties, all the variegatedness of the material nature. And at the same time he is also very surprised and apparently appears to be bewildered and achambit to see the wonderful transformations that are taking place in the environment, in the mother nature. So Prabhupada explains in his Krishna book that it is all through his internal potency. Actually speaking, the internal potency of the Lord is creating all the environments suitable for Krishna's pastimes, suitable for expansion of Krishna's pastimes. Lila Vikas. And it is fully empowered. In fact, it is the energy of the Lord which is responsible for all the situations that are there in Vrindavan and Golok Vrindavan also. And everywhere, wherever Krishna performs his pastimes. But at the same time, the performance of the internal energy of the Lord is also amazing to the Lord. It is exactly like a father gives birth to a child, trains the child in various skills, and then the child starts performing as per the skills given by the father. But the child performs so wonderfully, even the father comes one day and gets amazed. Wow, so nice. My son has performed so nicely. And really appreciates the son also. While the father knows that all the skills, all the cultivation, all the environment, all the suitability, all the favorite conditions I have created for him. But still, the individuality of the son is also respected by the father. Similarly, the internal energy of the Lord is also a person. Although a creation of the Lord, although a very part of the Lord, but still the internal energy of the Lord is also personality. When she creates, with the empowerment given by the Lord, all the favorite, anukul, wonderful situations for performance of Lord's pastime, Lord himself is very happily amazed. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not very impersonal. That, oh, so what? It's all power given by me only to you. Like the karmi manager will tell his employee, if he performs the good, very good, still the boss will say, so what? It's all facility I provided you. So there is no encouragement. But in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm, although everything comes from the Lord, internal potency also knows whatever I am doing is by the power of the Lord. There is no ego in the mind of internal energy of the Lord. But still, there is so much appreciation. So, you can see even the internal energy of the Lord is getting encouraged by the Lord's looking at her with such amazement, such appreciation, such love. And that's how the spiritual life goes on. Spiritual life goes on because the devotees encourage one another, appreciate one another. Whatever little good thing is done, the devotees encourage. The karmis point out faults, but the devotees, like the honeybees, look at the beautiful things that devotees have and they have done and they encourage them. And that's how the temples become very vibrant. Temples become vibrant because devotees spend time in appreciating one another, encouraging one another to serve Krishna in better and better and better manner. Those temples are vibrant where devotees appreciate one another. Even though somebody may be in temple, somebody is counselee and gives a program outside, makes a wonderful presentation. And the counselor doesn't say, I trained you. I gave you all the PowerPoint. I trained you how to operate a computer. I trained you how to do things. No, the devotee will say, oh, bravo, thank you very much. So nice, wonderful. Do it nicely again. So the devotee gets encouraged. And if the counselee, suppose, in the Brahmachari ashram does well, who does the glory go to anyways? We'll ask whose counsel he is, or whose disciple he is, or which sampradaya he belongs to, whose son is he. Immediately the glory goes to the higher authority. So this is the beauty of appreciation. The Lord Krishna also is appreciating the wonderful display that the internal potency of the Lord has created for expanding his pastimes. So the rains have improved Vrindavan. Improved in the sense externally. Vrindavan is always in the ultimate developed stage of Krishna consciousness, spirituality. But Sukadev Goswami is explaining how dates ripened on the trees, jamun ripened, mangoes, other fruits, beautiful, tasty, succulent, sweet, giving pleasure to the palate, all kinds of situations, fruits are developing. Then the cows, who are little bit weak, they got fresh grass to graze on, and they became very powerful in their strength. Their udders became filled with milk. And then because of the udders were so heavy with milk, dripping in the thought of Krishna, the milk on the ground, they also became tired because they were carrying such a big load of heavy udders. And then, amazing thing happens in Vrindavan. Even when the Krishna comes from cow herding back home, every cow is tired. As soon as Krishna plays flute, everybody comes running. They don't know from where the energy comes in them. The spiritual energy is surcharged in them as soon as they hear this sound of the flute of Krishna. And although very tired physically, they become surcharged and they start running. So like that, they are tired now. They are walking in the forest. But as soon as they see Krishna, they come running. And when they are running, their mind is filled with love for Krishna. And milk is dripping from them, making the earth wet. Yesterday, Roni Prabhu was explaining how nicely it is given, that how the cows are drinking, giving milk to their calves, and calves are dripping milk out of their mouth on the ground, and the earth is benefited by the mercy, by the Mahaprasadam of the love of the cows for Krishna, and the love of the calves for Krishna. The mixture is coming out and earth is getting benefited. This is spiritual life. Spiritual life means at all times, in every situation, everyone is spiritually surcharged. The net result of pure spiritual activity is that whoever is in touch with that gets completely surcharged. So that's why every living entity has to become spiritual, should become spiritual by practical activity, not just by thought, because by nature we are all spiritual, but we have not yet realized it. But moment we become spiritual, what only thing we keep on experiencing again and again in the middle of the miseries of the material world is the spiritual joy. So earth is not actually participating actively into the pastime of feeding milk to the calf by the cow. Earth is just giving support. But earth is receiving the mercy. When Krishna is walking on the earth, gopis have put kumkum on their bodies, and Krishna's feet, they have touched to their chest, and the kumkum and the chandan mixture is now adoring the Krishna's souls. And then Krishna then is walking on the ground. Who is getting benefited? The grass, blades of grass and the earth. And then who is getting benefited? The deers, they come and eat that grass, which is now tinged with the chandan and kumkum from the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And when they eat that, they become intoxicated. And they start gazing at Krishna with so much of love, that they start performing arati of Krishna only with their gaze. Sukadeva Goswami explains that they don't have arati, paraphernalia, but they simply perform the arati of the Lord, looking at the beautiful face. And Lord accepts the arati as any other pujari who is offering with lamp and agarbati. That is the situation of Sri Vrindavan. And the beneficiaries go on tertiary and next level and next level and next level. Everybody just goes on getting benefited. And Krishna is walking, entering the forest, the trees are trembling. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Mathura and was going towards Vrindavan, the cows got mad and the trees were trembling. And some of the trees were falling down as if they were doing dandavat to the Lord. Some of them were shivering. Some of them were shedding their leaves as if, you know, somebody is shedding tears. Some of their leaves and branches were standing erect as if there was romance. And Varuni, the daughter of Varuna, she came down in the form of a very beautiful beverage, madhu. What is explained here? Madhuchyutaha. The leaves, as soon as it waned, the trees became so ecstatic, they were starting oozing honey from their leaves. And those honey droplets were collected and they were served to Krishna and Balram. And in turn, they became intoxicated in love for each other. So, very beautiful situations are created in Vrindavan. Even the rain is given by Indra. All these demigods, they do not have any role directly into Sri Vrindavan Dham. They're not allowed to come in and participate. But they're still so eager. They have normal duties of giving water and giving heat and light and air. But they are also, because of being in touch by sight and through service to Vrindavan Dham, they also get surcharged. So when they pour the same rains which they would maybe pour in Bangalore, for example, but they may pour the rain in Vrindavan, immediately the spiritual atmosphere is created. The common rain water which they have with them in their planet, wherever they are, when it comes in Vrindavan, it becomes spiritualized. So it is not that they are adding into the spirituality of the Dham. They just get the spiritual benefit by being connected to spiritual world. That is their fortune. That's why they are very eager. When Krishna dances, they are very eager to join and give some melody. Very unsuccessfully, but still keep giving. Keep trying to give the melody. It is their, whatever emotion they have, that emotion gets spiritualized just being in connection with the Lord. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. We may not be fully trained or fully polished or fully developed in our Krishna consciousness, but simply by remaining connected with the activity of Krishna consciousness in the company of sincere devotees, everything becomes transformed into purity and into spirituality. So we may not be pure devotees, but we have to simply remain connected. So here the god of rains is connected. God of Vayu also, Vayudev also is connected. How? He is simply, which he would do otherwise, send his Vayu, what you call, waves of air, he would send here also, but this air now is capturing the humidity above Jamuna, along with the pollens which are very fragrant, and going very slowly and touching the skin of all the gopis and Krishna and cowherd boys, and giving them great fragrant soothing feeling on their skin. So otherwise it would be just a rain, that's a Vayu coming here and there. But this rain, this Vayu in Vrindavan is becoming so beautiful. So unbelievably beautiful. So all the demigods get surcharged just because of being in connection with Sri Vrindavan Dham. So the cows were sluggish due to heavy milk bags, but suddenly become very swift and start running towards Krishna with milk dripping from the milk bags. And then they sit down next to Krishna and they become very comfortable gazing at Krishna's lotus face. So, when the rains actually fall, and sometimes rains have fallen down already and then Krishna is walking and seeing the greenery and beautiful fresh conditions, the flowers and the fruits and the trees. And sometimes when he is walking with the cowherd friends and cows, the rains actually fall. So what he does, he is very expert in finding out things. So when he hears the rains falling down on the ground, there is some sound of the raindrops falling on the ground, and it reverberates, and the way it reverberates, Krishna understands that there are some caves nearby. Because when you blow your air in a funnel, there is a typical sound comes out. In childhood, we used to always take up empty pen and make some whistling sound. So hollow always gives a different kind of reverberation of sounds. So like that, when the raindrops will reverberate with the caves will give a different kind of sound, and Krishna will diagnose that there are some caves. So he will take his friends and go in the caves. And on the way, he will pluck some jamuns and some dates and some nice fruits. Cowherd boys also will pick up something and run in the cave. And then they will sometimes sit in the hollow of a tree. There used to be very big hollow. I have seen trees in Vrindavan. Such big hollows, not one, many hollows. It looks like as if there is no substance only inside the trunk. But still the tree is so huge and flourishing. So that was the situation of trees. Nowadays we don't see such kind of trees. But there are trees, like for example in Madantir, there is a tree where Harivamsa Goswami sat in one hole and did his bhajan, kept Radha Vallabh ji in another hole, and kept the paraphernalia of worship in another hole, in the same tree. And he performed his bhajan for a long time in Vrindavan. And that tree is no more there, but the remnants of that tree is there next to the tree which has grown now. And you can see the kind of hole that is there. So then we can imagine that if the hole is right in 300-400 years back, when Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was there, then Hariram Vyasji was there, Harivansha Goswami was there, Swami Haridas was there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, Vallabhacharya was also there. At the same time, such trees were there. What to speak of 5,000 years back when Krishna was there? There may be a big bungalow inside the hole of the tree. Bungalow-like situation may be there. They would be sleeping and playing maybe inside the hole of the tree. It's not like anda cell, you know, where you are cramped. There's no place to move also. It's not like that. It's a beautiful place. Every situation in Vrindavan is a source of happiness. There is no situation, even though some demons are attacking, ultimately they are source of happiness. But Krishna makes it into happy condition. Krishna is the autocrat. He can turn any so-called miserable situation into a very blissful situation. Amazingly, surprisingly, how Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya. Can anybody imagine such a dreadful, ghastly, fearful situation? He just miraculously turned into a situation of ultra-modern dance. He even amazed the demigods in the skies, you know. That is Krishna's potency. So similarly, raining and hiding in a hole of a tree or in the cave is made beautiful by just being with Krishna. So what is the coward boys, what is the success of their life? It's just being with Krishna, that's all. Just be with Him, be connected with Him, assist Him, just stick to Him. All happiness will flow. And that same message is for us also. It's not only for the coward boys. If we simply stick to Krishna, simply be connected with Him, simply be engaged in activities connected with Him, and activities connected with His devotees, what will come in the end or in the middle or in the beginning is only happiness. That is what the situation is. Now it's 48 degrees centigrade sometimes. 40 degrees centigrade. We are reading newspapers. We are also dripping, dripping and dripping. But when we chant Hare Krishna, get up in the morning and chant Hare Krishna, everything is very nice. We don't get up in the morning and chant Hare Krishna, everything is so hot, so driven, so much tiring, so much draining out, and no energy is there. So, life of a devotee is Krishna consciousness. Life of a devotee in the middle of winter, summer or rains is connection with Krishna. And we have to understand this principle, and then all so-called miserable situations of life will become very, very pleasurable and very, very blissful. That is a fact. It's not just theory. So then, Krishna goes to Govardhan also. It's also mentioned that He goes to mountains. What is that mountain? Basically Govardhan. There are many mountains in Kamayavan also. But basic mountain that He celebrated His pastimes is Govardhan. And Govardhan is filled with Girikandarai. There are so many beautiful caves, sitting places, open places, closed places, shaded places, shaded by a mountain rock, shaded by tree leaves, or inside nicely cooling chambers of the caves, also filled with berries, fruits and waterfalls and lakes and green grasses and fields, unlimited things, jewels, jadi butis, herbs, all that is suitable. And you can imagine such a personality which is so variegated into providing so many provisions to Krishna, and then rain falls, and imagine what kind of situation must be created there. Giri Govardhan must be giving such unlimited pleasure to Krishna from all angles, to all the senses of Krishna. So then Krishna would take His friends there, eat the fruits and berries, at nice time talking to His friends. He would do very nice talks with Him inside the caves, waiting for the rains to stop. The other times they would eat fruits and rice and dahi and sweets. Because Mother Yashoda, there is something called in their Bal Leela, when Krishna was doing Vatsapalila, when he was small boy, and they would go to herd the cows nearby. And nearby means Mother Yashoda can go at the top of the Nandagaon mountain and she should be able to see. Wherever her sight falls, that is the limit. That is a decision made by Nanda Baba and Yashoda. But in those days when he was Vatsapal, some gopis would carry some foodstuffs in the afternoon. Like when the school is nearby, the mother again goes in the afternoon to with a tiffin of lunch to give. She has given breakfast, but again she goes with fresh lunch and delivers to the child during the recess. So like that is close by. So morning they have given some fruits and berries, and morning they have fed some makhan misri. But again afternoon gopis and Yashodharani would send some chak. Chak means, it is Prabhupada explains that it's a mixture of rice and dahi, some sweet meat, some sandesh and some fruits. And then at times, when this would come, Krishna would sit on the rock. Very nicely, they will choose a nice rock for him. Govardhan will provide a nice rock, which is like hard, but when Krishna comes close to that, due to two reasons, due to ecstasy, Govardhan will make it very soft, like a cushion, and just because of touch of Krishna, he would become soft. Either it is touch of Krishna which makes him soft, or just by Krishna's thought that he is coming, he will become soft for his pleasure. So that rock which is hard, which can be painful to your buttocks or your legs, you know, it will be made into very soft, loving situation where Krishna will enjoy sitting on. And then everybody will gather and they will take out the materials, food materials in the hand, and Krishna would have something. They will extend his hand to his friend and he will lick from his hand, extend to another friend, he will lick from his hand. And they will extend their hands, and at one point of time Krishna is licking, and at one point or another they also licking. Everybody's hand is extended, but they are near the mouths of the friends. And that's how they would enjoy. Then Krishna will become very happy. It is explained, he also becomes very proud. Sukadeva Goswamiji explaining, Prabhupada explaining also in Krishna book, how Krishna becomes very proud to see Mother Nature providing such beautiful situations for his pastimes. Marathi mein word is there, kautuk, you know, kautuk means it's a little more than appreciation. Kautuk is really with so much of love and affection when you see some child or some younger person performing something nice, with so much of affection of vatsalya, one appreciate. So like that, Krishna is appreciating the beautiful atmosphere. His own energy making preparations, arrangements to please him. In Bhagavatam, on 10th canto, 14th chapter, there is one verse. Prapancham nishprapanchopi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janata ananda sandoham pratidhum prabho. Brahma is saying, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you still come to expand the joy of your surrendered devotees. That means prapancha, Krishna has no prapancha in this material world. There is no business to come. Brahma in glorification of Krishna is saying that even though you have no business in the material world, you simply come here to expand the pleasure of your devotees. So he doesn't have to come down here, but still, to please the devotees, he comes down and creates a prapancha for him, something like business for him, something like activity for him, which is not required, but out of love, out of affection for his devotees, he creates such beautiful situations so that his devotees are happy. So his primary goal is in Vrindavan, even to forget himself as the Lord and present himself to devotees as his friends, as their friends, is to just simply give pleasure to them. This is exclusive activity which he performs only in Vrindavan, where he gives up his position as the Lord and still performs activity in such a way that everybody is so happy and joyful. So this is Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sukadeva Goswami, I am still researching how Sukadeva Goswami, after Pralambasur killing pastime, has brought this adhyay in between of rainy season and autumn. How he is, actually I think that he is bringing Sukadeva Goswami to a Vrindavan situation, fully adept in the spirituality and the joy of Vrindavan. Otherwise, when Sukadeva Maharaj is narrating pastimes to Parikshit Maharaj, also there is in mind that he is going to go away in few days. I cannot just go on elaborating and then he may not be able to hear something which is very important. But still Sukadeva Maharaj is explaining and bringing Parikshit Maharaj into a actual understanding of Sri Vrindavan Dham and connecting him to Vrindavan Dham, so that even though he is in apparent danger of leaving his body, he is still kept in a completely saturated spiritual situation by connecting him with Vrindavan Dham. That was the ultimate goal of Sukadeva Goswami, to narrate all the pastimes of all the devotees, simply to prepare Sukadeva, prepare Parikshit Maharaj to accept and be existent or be there in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And that is why you can see now Parikshit Maharaj has no fatigue. He has no pain. He has no sleepiness or tiredness. Although cows are little bit tired of carrying the heavy udders, but Sukadeva Maharaj is explaining the Vrindavan pastime and Parikshit Maharaj is giving increasingly energetic, more and more. That's what we see, that Sukadeva Maharaj is regularly congratulating Parikshit Maharaj. Thank you very much. I also may have or could have got tired, but looking at your enthusiasm, I am getting more of my energy. And Parikshit Maharaj is thinking, because of you, I am getting energy. So this is Vrindavan Dham. And all of us ultimately need to be connected to Sri Vrindavan Dham. If we need to be happy, which we need definitely, we need to be internally connected to this consciousness of Vrindavan. What is the consciousness of Vrindavan? Is incessantly, uninterruptedly keeping ourselves in service to the Lord and His devotees with love and devotion. When we are in this situation, whether we are in Australia, America, or India, or actually in Vrindavan, we will remain happy. So this is the fourth degree of remaining in Vrindavan. Fourth degree means you are not physically in Vrindavan. Maybe in a absolutely awkward condition somewhere else. But still, by remaining, by keeping ourselves into service to devotees and Krishna, we can remain in this consciousness, wherever we are. And then also emit this consciousness to others, wherever we go. That's how Prabhupada was. Wherever he went, he emitted Krishna consciousness of Vrindavan Dham. He actually transferred Vrindavan Dham to wherever he went. And the devotees who were in connection with him, who came in contact with him, felt that bliss, which was unknown to them in the beginning, but later on they understood ki he was carrying Vrindavan in his heart. That's why whoever got in touch with him got surcharged and felt that consciousness. So what was his secret? He always remained fully absorbed in serving his Guru's order and to serve the devotees. So through that activity, Sri Vrindavan Dham manifested. So the situation which is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam Grantha can be experienced by each of all of us simply by this formula. I read Many Moons, some part of Many Moons, book by Giriraj Maharaj, where even Tamal Krishna Maharaj explains that the secret is to keep engaged in the service of Guru. And that will create Vrindavan in our lives and in those lives who come in touch with us. Hare Krishna. So today is disappearance day of Ramananda Rai. Is that right? Appearance day? Appearance or disappearance day? Disappearance day, as far as I read, I think. Okay. So we will speak also a few minutes about Ramananda Rai, one of the great ecstatic personality of Chaitanya Charitamrut, and a very unique, inspiring example in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai was born in Orissa and in near Cuttack, near Alalanad actually. And his father's name was Bhavananda Rai. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and met him. And he said, he embraced Bhavananda Rai and said that, "You are Pandu, the very son of Vyasadeva conceived in the wives of Chitrangad and Vichitravirya. And the eldest son was Pandu." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are Pandu. And all your five sons are the Pandavas." So the five sons were, the eldest was Ramananda, who was actually the incarnation of Arjuna. Second was Gopinath. They were also called, in their descendants are called as Chaudhari Pattanayaka. So we have a famous personality called Gopinath Pattanayaka. That is the younger brother of Ramananda Rai. Then there is Kalanidhi, Sudhanidhi and Vaninath Pattanayaka. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, "Your wife is the incarnation of Kunti Devi." So all of them, all five sons were dedicated to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in other places in scriptures like Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, is also mentioned that Ramananda Rai was Vishakha Devi himself. At one point of time also is mentioned he was Lalita Devi, but more stronger explanations are given about he being Vishakha Devi, who is the very number second closest gopi to Radharani, Vishakha Devi. And he was born in a respectable Kayastha family. Although Kayastha are considered to be Shudras, but his family was very respectable. He was born in the 14th century, and Ramananda Rai was the governor of East and West Godavari province in Andhra Pradesh area today. Where is Andhra Pradesh area? There is East and West Godavari province used to be there at that time, called as Kavur. He was staying at Kavur and he was ruling over the large part of Andhra Pradesh province. He was a great poet, he was a great scholar, he was a great dancer, he was a great singer and great composer also. He was a very, very artistic personality, although he was a great statesman doing administrative work of a state or two states, but still he was internally very soft and a very beautiful artistic personality. So, so Lord Chaitanya, he went to Jagannath Puri and he met Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he gave his mercy to him. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya became a great devotee of the Lord. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went for South India tour, at that time, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya told him that you must meet one personality called Ramananda Rai. Although he is a statesman, but he is the one who knows the intricate science of the lovable pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna at the summit, at the best of his capacity, the best knowledge about this is possessed by him. So you will get great relishing nectar for your heart when you associate with him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India near Godavari and he danced in the forest and then he came to the river, crossed the river, took bath and was waiting for Ramananda Rai to come. And suddenly many musicians came and they were playing music and many brahmanas were reciting hymns, and behind that was coming a great royal palanquin lifted by four men, and there comes down Ramananda Rai, the governor of East and West Godavari province. He gets down, he takes his bath and he changes his clothes assisted by his servants, and he suddenly sees a great effulgent personality, effulgent like hundreds of moons, sitting there in saffron cloth. And he becomes very humble, rushes towards him, offers dandavat to him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him to rise and then he embraces him. It is explained that at that time, because he was Vishakha Devi himself, that love between Krishna and Vishakha, Radha and Vishakha, simultaneously arose in his heart. Gaur Govind Goswami Maharaj explains that it is supposed to be a very utkat, very intimate, intense bhav that they share between, they share Radha and Krishna, Vishakha, and Krishna and Vishakha, was immediately aroused in the heart of Ramananda Rai. And he fell unconscious. So Gaur Govind Maharaj goes on explaining why he fell unconscious. Then he goes on explaining what kind of three kinds of separation moods are there. When your beloved is lost from you, is away from you, or a beloved is about to go in front of your eyes, is leaving you. So three kinds of separations he explains. And he says, Ramananda Rai went into the ultimate state of ecstasy by the divine embrace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there is glorification. Ramananda Rai says that I am Ramananda Rai, Rai Ramananda, the governor, the most lowly person, the Shudra, untouchable, and you have today dared to touch me. You are sannyasi. I can see you are supreme personality of Godhead, but you are breaking the principle of Veda. Vedas say you should not touch a Shudra, and you have touched me, you have embraced me, you have shed your tears on my body. You have taken a big risk. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I have heard your glories from Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He has told me that you are ocean of good qualities. I am longing to see you. One of my purposes to come to South India is to meet you and to share from you, from your lotus mouth, the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So thus they glorify each other, and then they sit down, and their famous description of Prayojan Shiksha that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed through the lotus mouth of Ramananda Rai to Rupa and Sanatan, he narrated the Sambandha Shiksha and the Abhideya Shiksha. We learn it from scriptures, Rupa Sanatan Shiksha, which describes the principle of Sambandha and Abhideya, the principle of Madan Mohanji and Govindji. He narrated them through himself, but the Prayojan Rahasya he revealed through Ramananda Rai. He made Ramananda Rai say, I know, it is you only who is speaking through me. I am like a puppet empowered by you, and you are making me speak and giving the glory to me. But I know it's you who is speaking through me. I am like your empowered instrument. So like that, so that essence of that description, we will just recite, because today is a very important day of Ramananda Rai's glorification. So in that Ramananda Rai Chaitanya Samvad, first Ramananda Rai enunciated the Varnashram Dharma. Then he spoke about Karmarpana, how to offer our karma to Krishna, give fruits to Krishna. Then he spoke about how the work has to be only done to please Krishna. Before that we do any work, prescribed duty, and then offer the fruits to Krishna. Then we do the work only to please Krishna. Work only becomes a karma. Then he talked about action and detachment. That work in Krishna which we do is to be done only to please Krishna with no attachment of any results. Then he talked about karma, jnana mishra bhakti. First karma mishra bhakti, then jnana mishra bhakti. Then he talked about spontaneous prema bhakti, spontaneous loving devotional service to the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not satisfied. He said, Eho bahaya, aage kaho ar. So then the higher platform of bhakti was narrated by Ramananda Roy. Then Shantaras was narrated, then Dasyaras, then Sakhyaras, then Matsalyaras, and then he touched upon the Madhuryaras. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go on, you are on the right track, please go on. And then Ramananda Rai went on describing about the various levels of service of gopis, various gopis, how they serve Krishna. And then he came upon Radharani, and he described her supreme position. Then he described the service done by Radharani, the activities done by Radharani, how they are on the supreme, most platform of love and devotion to Krishna, of Madhurya. The excellence of Madhurya was explained by Ramananda Roy. And that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was totally satisfied. He said, this is perfect. What Radharani offers to Krishna is the highest kind of dharma that one can experience in life. So this is what took place, the famous Ramananda Samvad at the banks of Godavari in Kabur, which we relish as our Siddhanta, that it is the sum and substance of Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is how to progress oneself from lowest stages of consciousness to the highest stage of consciousness one can achieve. After some time, when this discussion ended, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again embraced Ramananda Roy and revealed his identity as Radha and Krishna. And Ramananda Roy again fainted. Then when Brahmin came to invite him for lunch, he went for prasad, and he went for prasad, and again in the evening they came. And he explained that from evening to till morning, Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on describing the pastimes of Krishna and the innermost secrets of bhakti. They discussed whole night. Again they departed, and again next evening they came together. And at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of asking questions. So we will read those questions, very beautiful questions. And it's very significant. First time when Ramananda Rai came, he came in palanquin, and lot of servants and brahmins and music and chantings of hymns. But that time he did not know that he was going to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But next time when he was having appointment, he knew that I am going to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he called only one servant and he went on foot, because he already accepted a humble position. Although Lord Chaitanya apparently accepted a position of student and made Ramananda Rai his teacher, and he made him speak as a teacher, Ramananda Rai in heart of his heart knew that I am the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the third meeting, Lord Chaitanya asked questions. He asked, what is the best education? So the answer was given by Ramananda Rai, devotion to Krishna is the best education. Now these are like great punchlines. They are just series of questions, but they are like too much pointed answer. How one should not be confused and just be focused. So best education is devotion to Krishna. What is the best achievement for Jiva? Becoming the servant of Radha and Krishna. What is the best religion? Love of Radha and Krishna is the best religion. What is the worst suffering? Separation from Radha and Krishna is the worst suffering. Who is the most liberated? One who loves Radha and Krishna is in the most liberated condition. What is the best song? The song of Radha Krishna's Leela is the best song. What is the best well-being for Jiva? Is to be in the association of devotees of Radha and Krishna. The only thing to remember in life, what is that? Krishna's name, beauty and qualities are the only things to remember. What is the only object of meditation? Ramananda answered, the meditation on the lotus feet of Radha and Govinda. What is the best place to reside? The place where Krishna performs his pastimes. Krishna Leela Stali. What is the best thing to hear? The Prema Leela of Radha and Krishna. The loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. What is the fate of one who is desiring worldly desires? He will attain animate body if he is thinking of worldly desires. What is the fate of one who is desiring for Krishna? He will develop celestial body in Golok Vrindavan. What is the characteristic of a jnani, one who is adept with knowledge? A very surprising answer. He said, he is like a crow eating fruits of wisdom from bitter neem tree. That means Ramananda Rai is also giving message to us that simply attaining knowledge, bereft of loving devotion to Krishna, is like chewing neem trees, neem leaves, you know, bitter, hard bitter. And what is the characteristic of a devotee? He is like a cuckoo bird who is always drinking the nectar of love. So knowledge is also a burden or a negative thing as long as it is not connected with Krishna. If it is connected with Krishna, then it can turn into nectar of love. So after this discussion, Lord Chaitanya said, Ramananda Rai, I am like a madman. I am a fully madman. And I have understood that you also are a madman. Both of us are madman. And this discussion that we had is on the same platform. We have come on the same platform. But please do not tell this discussion. Do not tell what I have revealed to you. Keep it a secret. And now there is no rahasya, no confidential item that is unknown to you. But keep all these talks secret. Next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave from that place. He met Ramananda Rai. And before leaving Godavari, he instructed Ramananda Rai that give up all the worldly activities and join me in Puri. When I come back from my tours, please join me. We will discuss confidential Krishna's pastimes day and night in Puri. So Ramananda Rai was a great businessman, I mean great administrative personality. But he took permission of Pratap Rudra. That time the province of Eastern West Godavari and all over was under the reign of Pratap Rudra, the great devotee of the Lord, the king of the Gajapati of Puri. And he took permission from Pratap Rudra and came to Puri. And Pratap Rudra was denied meeting by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We all know the story that how he wanted to meet, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I do not meet kingly people. It is beyond my jurisdiction of laws and rules and regulation of sannyas. I don't see people who are having wealth and having many wives and properties. So he rejected him as a pastime, as testing. So Pratap Rudra was hankering, through Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he was hankering to connect with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was not given audience. And he saw my subordinate, my employee, Ramananda Rai, has been awarded so much association, so much mercy, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants him to give up his activity or profession and join him. Such a fortune. Any other boss would have become envious, you know, he would have punished that servant out of envy. But here Pratap Rudra, he said, I will give you full salary. You don't know how to go to work. You just be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it seems that this activity pleased Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the steps of success of Pratap Rudra in meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was this, that he gave full salary to Ramananda Rai and allowed him to be off the job on full salary. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happy. Then within no time, Ramananda Rai became very, very close to Swarup Damodar. You know, Swarup Damodar is incarnation of Lalita. So they were the original associates of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna is now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lalita is Swarup Damodar, and Vishakha is Ramananda Rai. So they became very, very intimate friends, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely happy to see them together, exchanging loving exchanges between each other. And then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back and spent his most of the time in Antarila, in seclusion in the inner chambers of Gambira, he would be going into utter Vipralamba. And it is explained that at that time Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing beautiful melodious tunes of the songs of Vidyapati and Chandidas. And only that singing of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai actually made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu live in that body that he was living in this pastime. The only survival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there because of these beautiful songs. Otherwise, Mahaprabhu would have left this body in separation from Radha and Krishna. That is what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains again and again. So because he was a poet, he could actually sing beautiful poetry, recite others' poetry in melodious song because he was a singer and dancer and composer. So he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great ecstasy in Gambira. Then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Pradyumna Mishra to learn the science of Krishna from Ramananda Rai. It is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the way Subal used to always assist Krishna in Krishna's intimate dealing with Radharani and Gopis, there would be transition and interaction between Gopas and the Gopis at one level, and Subal and Ujjwal were the people who were in front line with Krishna dealing with Lalita, Vishakha and Radharani. So the way Subal would always assist Krishna in dealing with Radharani, the same way Ramananda Rai assisted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Vipralamba Bhav in separation. Ramananda Rai also wrote one Natika called Jagannath Vallabh Natika. It's a very in Vrindavan that book is available also, Jagannath Vallabh Natika. Ramananda Rai wrote a beautiful drama in which Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes are enacted. And he also got that drama enacted. And he got them enacted through Devadasis of Jagannath Puri. And it is explained that he bathed those Devadasis, he decorated them, he painted them. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that no one can imitate Ramananda Rai. He said, I am a sannyasi. Even as a sannyasi, I am so staunch in following rules and regulations, but even when I see a form of a woman, my mind gets disturbed. But Ramananda Rai is so focused and so composed that even if he is decorating the private parts of ladies, he doesn't get disturbed. And no one ever should imitate the bhava of Ramananda in action. If anybody imitates or wants to imitate what Ramananda Rai is doing, they will definitely get destroyed in their devotional life. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself glorified, the inner consciousness of Ramananda Rai. Although he was the body of a man, but he was so much focused. At another point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Ramananda Rai. He said, for me, Sanatan Goswami and Ramananda Rai are both on the same platform. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai ho. For me, Ramananda Rai and Sanatan Goswami are on the same platform because both are the devout devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and both are focused on the Supreme Lord. Let me read the line which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. He said, both kept Krishna in the center of their activities as servants of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is also the basis of the Krishna conscious movement which Srila Prabhupada actually started. In the movement of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we do not discriminate between brahmacharya and sannyasis in the sense of one is higher than low and second is lower. Srila Prabhupada propagated the principle of Chaturvarnya Maya system, Guna Karma Vibhagasha, in actual sense, the way Krishna wanted. Which means he created equal opportunities for brahmacharis, grahasthas and sannyasis to advance in Krishna consciousness. He didn't create a situation where grahastha couldn't have progressed as much as brahmacharis, or brahmacharis couldn't have progressed as much as grahasthas or sannyasis. He propagated actual principle of equality by which we understand that whichever ashram we are in, if we are focusing on Krishna, dedicating our life to Krishna, keeping Krishna at the center of all our activities, then like Sanatan Goswami, who is the emblem of humility and renunciation, we know in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Ramananda Rai was a governor wearing silken clothes and using perfumes and so many things. But inner heart was such that Mahaprabhu revealed the essence that for me, Sanatana Goswami and Ramananda Rai on equal platform. So we should also adopt this mentality that our movement is a movement of Krishna consciousness. It's not a Varnashram movement in one sense. Varnashram is our assisting situation for us. But essentially, because we are spirit souls, somebody has husband and wife and property and income and family and so many relatives, and somebody has no family connections, renounce all family connections, but still both of them are dedicating their life to Krishna's service, to serving the devotees and keeping focus of Krishna and his service to devotees at the center of their lives. So this is through the example of Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the epitome of sannyas actually, and who created sannyasis like Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. He is at the same time glorifying Ramananda Rai. So that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that it doesn't suppress anybody or doesn't elevate anybody preferentially. Krishna consciousness process encourages every living entity to progress towards Krishna equally, provided that living entity, whichever ashram he is from, takes the principles, the essential principles of Krishna consciousness into sincere action. Out of humility and sincerity, if one takes the principle and adopts in his life, then one can become Ramananda Rai, also can become Sanatana Goswami or Raghunatha Goswami. I mean, we don't want to imitate them, but in principle, we have all equal opportunities. And Radhanath Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada Ji, in our movement have given us this unique opportunity. Otherwise, there would be condemnation of grihasthas because they have family and property, or condemnation of brahmacharis because they are useless, bums, unsuccessful. That's why they have joined ashram and wore saffron to become beggar, to eat nice food out of begging. This was one time there, but it was effortfully eradicated. And the glories of brahmachari ashram, and the glories of grihastha ashram, and glories of sannyas was equally propagated, so that each and every member of each ashram has respect and reverence for members of each other ashram. And that's how the healthy Krishna conscious community can grow, where each one respects another. Nobody differentiates between men and women. Nobody differentiates between grihastha and sannyasi or brahmachari. As part and parcel of Lord, surrender to the Lord, each person is respecting other person. That is a symptom of a healthy Krishna conscious growing community. So thus, the beautiful life of Ramananda Rai is manifest to all of us. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, entered into the body of Tota Gopinath, very soon even Ramananda Rai left this world. On the day, today is, which day is today? Chaturthi? 25th was Purnima, Vaishak Purnima. And yesterday was Chaturthi, today is Panchami. So Vaishak Krishna Panchami, and there is day Ramananda Rai left this world. Ramananda Rai Maharaj ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. So I end here. Is there any question or comment? Yes, Prabhuji. Is there a microphone for him?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhuji. Especially sharing the secret that by serving Guru and Krishna, the Vrindavan would be manifested to you. You also mentioned in your class that those temples are vibrant where devotees appreciate each other. So what is the individual and collectivity responsibility of the community, that the community appreciate each other? So what is the responsibility of an individual person and as a community, what they have to do so that the
first step is you get to know the devotees. First step is when you come to temple, try to know more and more devotees, make friendship with them, find out what services they are doing, and then see those great things that they are doing which we are unable to do, and appreciate them for that. Actually, everything starts on individual level first. Collective level takes place when individuals are there. The community is made up of individuals. So we should never feel, never forget that we are individuals and Krishna consciousness begins from us. More than expecting from others, it begins from us. So appreciation means it has to begin from us first. When we begin with appreciating others, finding out the great things that others are doing and then appreciating that, in response, they will see a great thing that you are doing and they will appreciate you. And that's how each other will be encouraged and nourished. So I would say the collective responsibility comes after, before comes individual responsibility. Individually we have to be appreciative. When we spread this mood of appreciation, then everybody will be also getting in the mode of appreciation. And that's how the community will grow. Whether it is in 4-5 people in number or 4-500 in number or 4-5,000 in number. And devotees are trained individually to appreciate, then the whole community may be appearing to be appreciating one another. Any other question is there? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai ho.